I greet you after a nice break in Cyprus. I took a little break. I got away for a little bit. Had a chance to just rest and recover. you gotta find those times where you can break away, where you can get refreshed a little bit in the middle of all that's going on. You know, even Jesus with the disciples, when they had been just pretty stretched, he decided to try to get away with them for a little bit, so just so that they could rest. Now the people followed him. They came after them. They wanted to still be where Jesus was, and he had compassion on them. But, you know, he always recognized the need for for when you do need to rest and when you do need to break away. And, you know, balanced life is not an easy thing, because we don't live in a balanced world. We lived in quite an insane world. There's no push for balance, for healthy lifestyle in the world that we live in. The world is big, quick, now, excess, more. There's no satisfaction with the world. You know, one thing that God does in the hearts of His people is He builds in a point of godly satisfaction with those that are His. They can be satisfied with what they have. You know, Paul talked about the secret of being content in all situations. He said, "I've learned to be content with a lot and content with a little." Whatever situation life finds me in, this is Philippians 4, whatever situation that life finds me in, that I know what it is. You're going to be all right. You know, I mean, if you think about it, the things that we really need, like the bare essentials of life, they're really not that much. So much more is excess. So much more is, you know, desire. So much more is, you know, man's insatiable urge to have, to keep, to store, to accumulate, out of fear, out of greed, out of lust, out of desire for power, to ascend, to be something, to be someone. And, you know, God is not into that. You know, God will take care of those that are His. You know, Jesus was the ultimate example of a life well lived. Jesus was the ultimate example of God taking care of His people. He always takes care of His people. But with Jesus, what He did was He just said, "Look, you know, my sheep know my voice, they won't follow another. If you follow me, then I'll take care of you." He did that with those that followed Him. He took care of them. He watched out for them. He met their needs. He ensured that they were all right. You know, something God told me early on was, "I'll give you the need when it's needed." You know, I've looked at the times in my life where God has allowed for more resources to come into my life and into my hands, and those have been times when when I've needed them for something. Maybe not me personally, but maybe something that I was connected to or around, or some people that I'd be working with or something. But God knew what I needed, and He opened up a door for that. And then when I haven't needed them, it hasn't been there. But I've always had what was needed when the need was there. God told me, "I'll give you the need when it's needed." And it's true in the life that we live, is that, you know, rather than focusing on what you don't have, you know, focus on what you have. Focus on what God has already put into your life and into your hand. You know, there's a powerful scriptural principle that if you go through the scriptures, you see it over and over and over again. God would ask people not what they don't have. He'd ask them, "What do you have?" He asked Moses, you know, "What do you have in your hand?" He asked Moses, what do you have in your hand? And Moses said, I got a stick. And, you know, with that stick, he said, throw it down. And when he threw it down, it turned into a snake, serpent, and then he picked it back up. And it, after that point, it was the staff of God. He said to when they were out with the 5,000, Jesus was speaking, and he said, hey, he realized they were all hungry. He said, hey, what do we got? What do you have? You know, 5 loaves and 2 fish. All right, that's what we have. That's what we got to work with. And, you know, throughout life, there's a powerful principle in that, is that what do you have? Don't look at what you don't have. Look at what you have. If nothing else, you've got your eyes, your ears, your nose, your toes, your fingers, hands. You can breathe air. You've got something. You know, be grateful for what you have. You know, God can take what you have and multiply it. God can take what you have and increase it. God can take what you have and allow... The main thing about the blessing of God flowing through a person's life materially is when that is given over to God. And that's the key. And that's what he shows throughout in all of those passages, is the moment that is laid at the feet of Christ, the moment that is thrown down before God, the moment that a person doesn't trust in that for their provision, but they trust in him. Remember Elijah, the Shunammite woman. You know, what do you got? What do you have? Now, I know, oh gosh, I know the name it and claim it preachers, that they've taken that and said, you know, first give unto the prophet. First you give unto the prophet, and then your blessing will come. No, it's not like that. You give it over to God. You put it before God. That's a state of heart. It's a state of condition. God wants all of you, 100%. And in that giving of all and giving of total, he then directs your life. And with resources, all of that, he wants it all dedicated to him. Now, one thing that I've done, you know, that is just part of the way that I've lived, is, you know, with the increase that God has put into my life, I've always sought to set that aside, set at least 10% aside, you know, of that. And what I've done with that is I've always asked God, where do you want me to put this? Where would you want me to, you show me, you know, where does this go? What is your plan and purpose for this? Because there is a proverb that says, honor the Lord with the first fruits of your increase. You know, and there's a blessing that follows that. And I've sought to do that, you know, with that first fruits of whatever God's put into my life. And I've noticed in my life, when I've done that, when I've deliberately set stuff aside unto him, that there's been a blessing. Now, the key, though, too, with that was, I still wanted to be directed by him where it goes. Because otherwise, what happens is, people, they check their brains at the door, and they might have said something. First of all, a lot of people don't set anything aside. Secondly, they don't ask God, if they do set it aside, where does it go? Because we are part of the priesthood of all believers. And as part of the priesthood of all believers, us being connected to the head, Christ, who is the head of the church, and all of us on the same level, that we also all hear from the same head. And that head speaks to us and tells us, this is the way you should go, walk ye in it. He tells us, this is where you put this. This is what you do with that which is in your hand. And you and I, we rather than putting things in a certain way where you don't listen and you just follow a religious practice, rather than doing that, listen and let God show you where what you set aside should go and what it should do. You know why? Because it gets really fun. It gets really fun when God directs your giving. And when that giving is in line with him, what it ends up doing. It ends up meeting incredible needs at just the right time. Because as one joint supplied the need of another, you know, that's what we're like as the body of Christ. One joint supplied the need of another. And how does that happen? Well, the head tells one joint, hey, one joint, this is the need of another joint, and you're to supply that need. And you know, that's where also too, so often God has used other people to bless me. You know, not just materially, but just to, you know, they've spoken a good word in the right time. They've been there for me. They've been true friends. They've supplied that need. And, you know, for me, that place now is a place of peace, because I know I've begun to see how the provision of God works in His system, His way. Not man's way, but His way. You know, you won't get it from the church system. You'll get it from the spiritual kingdom. Because He shows you. You don't believe in institutions. Now, there's lots of institutions out there, and, you know, hey, just let the Spirit of God lead you. If He wants you to go to some place, go. If He doesn't, then don't. But it is because of the spiritual kingdom that we are part of. That is why we live the abundant lives that we do. It's also why people hate us. They hate you because of what's in you, which is the Spirit of Christ. They hate you because you are a threat to them. Why are you a threat? Well, you're a threat because, one, you've been walking around here without selling your soul. You've been walking around in this life and in this world without being part of it. So you've been in the world but not of it. And as being in the world and not of it, there's a struggle because for them, because, hey, you're not one of them. You can try to look the part, you can try to dress the part, you can try to act the part, talk the part, but in the core of who you are, you're not one of them. And they know that just as well as you know that. You know for yourself that you've never quite fit. You know for yourself that it's never quite worked. You know for yourself that when you participate in what it is that they do and how it is that they do, that when you turn around at the end of the day, you're just sad and empty. It's because you're marked for God. There's no fulfillment in what they do. There's no fulfillment in what they do. Whereas there is fulfillment in the Christ. He is the one that fills us up to overflowing. We become abundant lives in Him. Now, the process of life and life more abundantly, as what Jesus has called us to live and called us to be and called us to have, the process of life comes on His terms. The process of life is, you know, it's not just a simple, you know, okay, simple prayer. Yes, there's a starting point, but it's a process. You need to grow in grace, grow in faith. Walk this out. Be truthful. Love the truth. Hate the lie. Look for the work and will of God in all that you do. And as you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, the peace that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Now look, you don't have to have everything figured out. Most people don't. In fact, if people would be honest with you, I wonder if there's a few that do. You know, most people don't have it figured out. But all you do need to figure out is the source of your life, the source of your hope, the source that's guiding you through this world. You know, you should have a heart to figure that and to learn that and to be lost in His love, to be lost in His embrace, the strength of the Father in pulling you in and pulling you close and making you his own. You know, God desires that his people would live and know his truth. He would desire that his people would know in this life, in this dimension, on this paradigm, what it is that things are about. You know, I mean, once this life is over, it's a different thing. But while we're here, and while we're living within the limitations of what this life is, God also intends that we would have a victorious life here. That we would be overcomers in this life. You know, it's... you know, a buddy of mine was telling me this the other day. It's not the results for us. It's that we overcome the obstacles of life. That's what things is important. You know, a lot of people look for the results. They want to see the quotas being met. They want to see the certain profits, certain this, certain that. People want results. Whereas the kingdom of God people, they themselves, you know, the kingdom of God people, they realize that the success is not in the results. The success is in obedience. Because it's in obedience that there's the reward. It's in obedience that life changes for the good. You know, the people that shun correction, destroy themselves. The people that look for something else besides him, well, you're going to miss it. You're going to miss what's real, because nothing else besides him is real. You know, he is Christ. He is the true reality. All in all is in him. So, yeah, you know. Ugh. Boy, I tell you though, it's, you know, as much as I love Cyprus, as much as I love being there, you know, you gotta just love wherever you are. You gotta just love whatever you do. Even if you've got a difficult situation, you can still love. You may not love the place and the situation, but you can love the people that are inside there. You know, God will give you opportunity. You know, it's there's a need for his people, just to get out and be who it is that God made them to be. You know, he doesn't need you to be a typical preacher, or he doesn't need you to be a lot of things that a lot of people would put a value on. Rather, you know, he just needs you to be the fullest you in him that you would desire, that you would have. I mean, yes, he's going to prompt you with his spirit to follow him completely. But, you know, in that process of being prompted and all of that, you know, he works with you where you're at. He works with us where we're at. Yeah, you know, I tell you what, there's that attack that comes when we start to speak the word. I tell you, I get this tiredness thing that sometimes comes towards me, and it is just strong. I mean, right now it's there, and it's just like, yeah, it's just strong distraction. So, yeah, even if I'm driving, it's still just kind of like, it just sort of comes up every now and then. Yeah, part of it is just, you know, the enemy doesn't like things getting out. So, yeah, this is one of those things you just deal with in Jesus' name. And, yeah, but now I'm almost to my destination, so I'll be all right. No worries. But, no, just, you know, in life, in general, look for truth. Always invest your life in truth, because truth does not change. You know, what does Solomon say? Buy the truth and sell it not. You know, God would have us to own that truth, to buy it, to own it, to live it, to love it. You know, to be what He's called you to be. So, you know, for us, that place right now where we are, in the middle of these difficult and trying times, hey, just think about where you were a year ago. You're much stronger today than you were a year ago. You know, and if some of you are listening out there and you don't feel like you've gotten stronger, you feel like you've gotten weaker, hey, just pray. Ask the Father to be with you. Ask the Father to strengthen you. Ask Him to lead and guide you into all truth and to reveal His will and plan and purpose for you. You know, God will do that. He will reveal His will, His plan, His purpose to and for you, so that you can walk in boldness and in truth, knowing that your steps are ordered by the Lord. And no matter what it is that you face, God will carry you through. Okay, so here's another question. Don't you ever get tired of the contradictions? I know I do. This is one of those spots where it's been a growth process for me, I should say. You know, all right, there are people that are part of the body of Christ. They love God, and you can see and you can tell from just their lives that they have the Spirit of God upon their lives, and they're blessed people, right? Okay. So, why is it then that we get different things from different people, and they have differing points of view and different opinions about stuff, and that conflict brings and breeds, I don't want to say the word confusion, but definitely difficulty in understanding or some paralysis in what it is that you're supposed to do. I can think of current examples of that in my own life. I can think of scriptural examples of that. Paul and Barnabas, Acts 15, where they had such a sharp disagreement about John Mark that they split company. And one of the strongest missionary teams that's ever walked the face of the earth split up over what was the deal with John, because he had deserted them in the mission before. As one buddy of mine said, one was on the side of the mission, the other was on the side of the missionary. And they were both right. But, you know, isn't it difficult? You know, when you want to know, and you just want to be able to make that decision. You just want to be able to make that choice clearly. But you know what? This is part of the growth process. Because I think God deliberately does that to us, so that we will come to a place where we hear from Him for ourselves. And I think that's part of that process of scattering those comfortable resources in His own way, so that you and I do not depend on a person, but look to God. You know, there is a time in our spiritual infancy where, you know, you need that person there. You need that encouraging arm to lift you up and to help you to stay strong in the midst of the struggles that you face. You need that brother there, that person that helps you to listen to and hear the voice of God and helps counsel you with things that they've gone through. But God wants you to also keep moving. He also wants that point to come where you would hear Him for yourself and be assured of what He tells you, especially when you might be the only one hearing it. You know, there's times when... See, the instruction God gives you is just that, the instruction that He gives you. See, the body of Christ, we're called the body of Christ for a reason. a body is made up of many, many different parts, different cells, different pieces, and all of it has a different function. And so when people are looking to different things that are going on around them, and they're looking for sameness, it gets difficult because God is unique. And a lot of the things that go on with His people, they're unique. And you and I will see things differently. You and I will experience things differently. You and I will, you know, we're going to face a certain set of challenges that somebody else won't face. Somebody else is not going to face the challenges that you face, and vice versa. You're going to go through a different set of life experiences, and that's going to affect the way that you prioritize. It's going to affect the way that you see things in the natural. That will impact your judgments, if you would. That'll impact the things that you are good at, out of your life experiences. But you know, with whatever it is that you face, with whatever it is that we face, in all of it, you've got to be able to hear God's voice for yourself. And this is that place where this is a strong break between you being a follower of Christ and you being an attender of church. See, an attender of church is somebody that they still need that man to help them get to God. Whereas a follower of Christ, you've moved into, stepped into that place of spiritual intimacy where there is no man between you and the Father. And He will speak to you. Now, maybe you go to a church, but whatever it is that that person says is something that, you know, has been spoken into your own heart already. And God has already used a word to you, and so whatever that person speaks is just a confirmation, is just a strengthening of that word that God has already been working with you on. So, yeah, it's one of those things where it's just like, unless we take a bold step along the way to believe God with what it is that He has spoken into your heart, unless you've done that, you're going to keep looking for a man to help you get to God. You're going to keep looking for a person to give you a word, to give you a prophecy, a statement, a something that's going to be your something that's it's just not going to work. Because, you know, then your relationship with the Father is still contingent on somebody else. And you don't know Him. You're expecting to live your life based out on somebody else's relationship with the Father. You need to hear His voice for yourself. That's what Jesus said, "My sheep know My voice. They won't follow another." Now, you and I will not follow another. We want the truth. We want Christ. We were meant for that. See, without Him, we die. Without Him, we dry up and we go away. Without the Spirit of the living God living and moving through us, and in Him we live and move and have our being. Without that taking place, there's nothing really. There's nothing of value. There's nothing of substance. There's nothing that is worth even mentioning. You need Him. I need Him. We need Him. Without His breath in us, there is no way forward. You die without the breath of life. And you die a spiritual death without Him breathing into your spirit and reviving your soul. That new birth experience is the work of the Father in us. He opens our hearts to receive. He opens our minds to understand. He opens our spirits to receive His life. And He fills us with His power. He fills us with His glory. He fills us to the brim with good things that enable us to walk strong and to know that He is God. You know, I know that God allows for a lot of us, for actually all of us really, for our circumstances to be orchestrated so that they're difficult, so that they're tough, so that they stretch us. He allows for that. You know, think about the elaborate planning that it takes, even from the Father, to orchestrate and to allow for difficult situations for us to be put into the middle of, just so that we can grow. I mean, when you think of a garden, you know, how they customize certain areas just so those plants have a particular way that they can grow well. And God does that with us. He customizes our lives so that we can grow well. He customizes our lives so that we will deal with the issues at hand and deal with the issues of this life and not lose faith, not lose hope. Hold out, for your redemption is near. God wants us to live that way. Yeah. Oh, I tell you. You know, it is a good thing to be one of His. It is a good thing to live in the abundance of the blessing of Christ, knowing that He that began a good work in us will carry it on to completion. You know, He's once He starts with you, you just got to surrender all to Him and allow Him to lead and guide you. Allow Him to teach you. Allow Him to lead you in the way everlasting. You know, there's a beautiful thing coming. There's a beautiful thing coming for God's people. In the midst of difficult times and struggling times for all nations, God will raise up His people to do exploits. God will raise up His people that He has in position, and they will fulfill His word, they will fulfill His will, and they will continue on in the good graces of the Father, each and every day getting stronger and stronger till the full fruition of His return. Yes, this Jesus that you saw, He is coming back. Oh, the Lord is coming back in a beautiful way to wrap things up. You know, it's all these things that people get stressed about. You know, you don't got to get stressed about things. Just trust Him. Do what He commands you to do. And fulfill His plan and purpose for your life. You fulfill His plan and purpose for your life when you live in the fullness of what it is to be His. When you surrender your heart, your spirit, your soul, your whole being to the Father, you live in the fullness of life. This day, for this is the day the Lord has made, I will rejoice and be glad in it. Hey, God bless you guys. Love you. Okay, keep on keeping on. Drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. We always love to hear from you. And we do read. Yes, we do read. So, God bless you guys. Sometimes it takes us a little bit longer to get back to you, but yeah, we do go through things. So, hey, keep in touch. Love you. And do that thing you do. All right. God bless you guys. Bye. Yes, I am.